podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey everybody, welcome to Coach Unplugged. Today, before we jump in, we'd love to, if you'd leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Those five stars do really help. We'd also like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. I'll get it out. Not only are they innovative, unbelievable how shooting machines have changed. You know, I remember when they used to have those long metal racks coming from the court. But how they've innovated, how they've put the trainers right in front of you, it's unbelievable. So go over and check it out. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. There's nothing else on the market like it. Nowhere else are you going to get the bat phone to the person running it. No, you know, yes, they might do quarterly or monthly or weekly calls, but they're not on your beck and call. If you have a question, if you have an email, trust me, I will get back to you. I will respond. I will get on a call with you that day. So come over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Let's head off to the podcast.
I want to surround the athletes with people of high character and expectations that go to the staff. That may be guest speakers. I wanted to put as many high character people in front of them as I can. I want to be organized and prepared at all times. Have athletes that properly supervise and care for, to be a great ambassador of our program and our school system. I think that.
Yeah. Quote unquote, your own players are your best recruiters because they're marketing your product or your brand. I agree. I mean, they're ambassadors. They're mm-hmm. the ones that the little girls want to look up to and want to become. I know.
Absolutely. I mean, we go, we try to go down and, mingle with the elementary kids and do a lunch buddy system and those type of things that gets our kids out. One, gets our kids out and being recognized within our school system, but our kids, you know, those younger kids are fired up to see who our kids are and see them. But we want to be great ambassadors and we want to sell what we do. We want others to envy that. And then promote. I think that's a huge thing in coaching. Is you've got to promote not only your kids, like we talked about on social media, and not only your program, like we talked about on social media, but you've got to promote your staff. That is huge. If your staff is doing great things for you and they aspire to be head coaches in the future, you've got to promote them within and sell them just as much as you yep. sell yourself yep. in your own program.
It's like being a freshman player and a sophomore player and then a varsity player. The coaches want to do the same things. You want coaches like that. You definitely want coaches like that.
And you hit it on the head earlier saying, you know, you wouldn't be where you are if you didn't have the staff. I'm not naive to that. My guys are phenomenal, and they are going to be great head coaches, and I would do anything in the world to help them reach their goals.
Right.
And I, as a coach, have got to promote that, not only to
yes.
Our kids, but other coaches around our area that ask and through just giving them a sense of ownership within our program. I think it's important that I'm not the only brain in the office that
right.
I've got to take what they say and respect it, hear it. I've got to make the final decision, but that relationship grows over time as well. And our coaches right now, I mean, my assistant coach Reed Smith is the best scout person I've ever seen at any level. His attention to detail is
the thing is when you find a good staff. I've said this in other podcasts. I mean, I talk like 30% of practice now or 40% of practice because we are like a well-oiled machine. And I have an assistant coach, if Nate's listening, that does my scouting. Like it's like a college program. We try to run it that way. Like he takes that team, he takes it, and then he comes back to me, gives me the information, gives me the clips, blah, 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 the scout, and I go through it, and then I'll ask some questions, and I'll go through it with the team. It's unbelievable. When you find people like that, what I tell head coaches is find your assistant coach's superpower too. Like, mm-hmm. Like Nate is a great organizer. He's a great X and O guy. He's great at scouts. Those are his superpowers. I'm going to feed his superpowers because it makes all of us better. It makes him better. So that, I think that that's a life lesson, but yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I mean, every coach has their own knack, like what they're great at. And I think that's a great reference to, you know, finding what they're great at and utilizing it. Because, and you know, this as a head coach, that the kids don't always come to me for everything. Sometimes they'll come to your assistant. And
it's good cop, bad cop. Sometimes you got to be bad cop. Yeah.
And I think putting them in front of our kids in a head coaching style, like letting them, like I do some things in our practice plan that they drive home the emphasis rather than me. They need to hear their voice sometimes over than me. Now they're fine tuned to my voice.
Right.
However, they need to understand what he's doing is important as well.
You use a whistle at practice?
I do use a whistle. I'm not whistle driven on control sometimes.
I haven't used one in 25 years.
I'm a whistle guy. I think
why? Because I want them in tune with me. Yeah. Like I don't care if the whistle goes off in a game and it blows, you know, half the time the whistle's wrong.
Yeah. I think I don't want to be whistle driven. Like I don't like to stop practice a lot. I try not to stop, especially through mistakes. They got to learn through mistakes. But I think, I think it's just a personal thing for me because, you know, usually when a practice goes bad and I start to get frustrated, that whistle starts to get, I start to chew down on that whistle a little bit harder. So I think it's just really for me more than it is for the purpose of the whistle. But, but the last thing I think is extremely important for a coach, any coach, whether young, old, is understanding your why. I believe it's extremely important to understand why we do things. Because if you don't, you lose the end focus of what you're really doing it for.
In everything. Like I can tell you from the coaches I've been talking to about practice, like you should ask about why you do everything. Like, why are you getting on the bus that way? Why are you like everything should have a why. Yep. Sometimes it's hard to come up with the answer to the why, but everything should have a why. I think that's great.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed. And if you don't, it's like you talked about earlier, is like you lose that motivation to,
right.
You know, but here's my why. My why is that I feel like every athlete deserves a coach who believes in them. I think that every athlete deserves something like that. And then it's obviously, to me, it's bigger than ball. This picture here is for pancreatic cancer. We had a mama close to our program that lost her daddy pancreatic cancer. She does this huge, huge fundraiser week, and we dress in purple. Well, all of our kids dressed up in purple. That has nothing to do with basketball.
Right.
But it has everything to do with supporting others and being there for others. And that is my why.
Man, I tell the youth coaches that are listening, you do not want to be a kid's last coach. That should be your goal in life. Like, obviously, as head coaches in the high school level, we might be their last coaches just because of ability. But I never want to be a kid's last coach. Like when I was a youth coach, I always thought about that. I don't want to be the last one. I want them to love the game and keep playing it. So, So your contact stuff, I'll put all this in the show notes. So if people want to get a hold of you and, or call you or tweet at you or you have Snapchat coach?
Sounds good.
Do you have Snapchat?
Do I have Snapchat? I do not, man. I do not. I probably should.
You should. Like, so I've only had it for 2 years, and I'm an old dog. But I got it. Had my assistant set it up for me, and I basically have a chat, and they call it like it's Coach Colin with Coach. They have a chat with Coach, and it's like highlighted, so they know when they're snapping. And that one, I'm on it, and then they have one without Coach.
I don't know. I have a Facebook and I have Twitter. And
yeah, Facebook. They're not on Facebook though. The parents are on Facebook. The kids aren't on Facebook.
I have an Instagram.
They like Instagram. Really, Instagram's
it's
good.
It's just to monitor really them. It's not really to. It's not
Instagram's
really
good for pictures and stuff like that. TikTok's kind of on
TikTok.
That's
the big That's the big deal. And I'm sorry. Some of these things that I just. As it evolves, I don't know if I'm ready to evolve with it.
I just try to, just because I was doing TikToks for like a month when this quarantine started, just so they could see me, like that, you know, me being funny and doing dad jokes and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So some questions for me. Tell me your coaching philosophy in one sentence.
Just coaching philosophy in general.
Yeah. You're in one sentence.
I think it goes back to some of the things that we want to build. I want to put a product out there that our community and our players and our coaching staff can be proud of.
Okay. That's a perfect. what do you think your biggest challenge is?
As a head coach?
Yeah.
I think biggest challenge is always going to be, I think the biggest challenge for me is never feel like I know everything. Is always coming, continue to be, the cliche word right now, the high word is a lifelong learner, and never settle with just mediocre. I think always trying to challenge myself is my biggest challenge. I like to push myself farther than to be expected probably, but I want to be great at what I do. However, I don't want to be overly complex at what I do where I screw things up. I think the biggest challenge for me as a head coach is just continuing to better myself every year, continuing to promote my program, to continue to be successful and relevant. Like we talked about earlier, is you want to be relevant. You want to be, not for me, but I want everybody around us to know what we're doing in Pea Ridge and what we're doing as a school district.
Yeah. I think the lifelong learner thing, I wish I knew as much as I did in my 20s, because I thought I knew everything in my 20s.
Yeah. No.
I don't think I know anything now. So it's one of the reasons I started the podcast. I wanted to learn more things. So yeah, I think lifelong learner, that growth mindset, it is the kind of the thing to say, but it's true. You can see where we're doing my thing, all the books I have. Absolutely. So that's just kind of, is there one coaching moment that we could dive into that would be a learning experience and a success, a failure, a moment in your coaching career that would intrigue or allow the listeners to learn something?
I think 2 years ago, like I said, the maturation of our offense and evolution of our offense of where it started to where it's gone. For me, a coaching moment to where I kind of knew exactly where we wanted to go and where it kind of, it was like the, for us, I look at my boys coach and he runs a lot of sets and set plays and stuff like that. And I'm a set play guy. I like set plays. I mean, we've had a bunch. When I transitioned over to women's sports, we couldn't run a whole bunch because, not because they couldn't learn it, but it was just a lot for them to remember.
Right.
And we have to create this environment of playing all the time because, like, guys, they'll get out and play pickup and all that. Girls, you have to force that a little bit.
It's my whole theory, like, when they're in fifth grade, a boy has street cred if he can play hoops on the playground at recess. Girls don't have that. It's different. It's a different, like, and I think hopefully that's changing. But boys, that's like a hierarchy of when you're an athlete. And like, I can see it in the elementary schools.
Yeah. I mean,
there's no social prominence when you're a girl and you're doing that. I think that's changing. And I think maybe in 20, 30 years, it'll even be better.
It's a trending deal.
It's trending up.
You have your classes that do that. Like, I've got a group that did do that at that age. And then, you have those ones that are interested in other things. And capturing that lower so you can try to do that is important as a head coach. That's hard because you've got it. That's something that's taught.
Yeah.
That's not something that you just do naturally. I think that's taught. Parents are a big help during that process of creating that. Nowadays, like, they'll come in and play video games and blah, blah, blah. They never go outside. And, you have to teach that and make that, something that's important to your program.
Go ahead.
Oh, back to your question. During the evolution of our offense, we had a couple years ago, I had a kid. It was kind of a cool sequence of events that happened. I had that kid that I showed you that playing college ball that we went and watched. We were down 3 points with six seconds, something like that. And we had the full court to go. And I had two timeouts. And the coach that we were playing ran a zone defense and man, had gone to both, played a 3-2 zone and then had gone to man, switching man. And so I wanted to run out of the net a transition offense set without burning the timeout with 6 seconds. The ball goes through the net, the free throw puts them up three, and I wanted to go. Well, at the free throw line, I'm talking to my point guard at the time, and I said, "Hey, Holland, let's go with this." And, you know, I just called out. And Holland, my best player, All-State player, looks at me and goes, "Oh, my gosh, what is that?" And she flinched. And she had a moment of uncertainty there.
The brain fart, basically.
Yes, whatever. Yes.
It's one of those things that just happens.
That bothered me because I felt like we had run that in practice. We had, you know, we do transition all the time. But if my best player flinches, then I know my other four are not going to have the confidence as well. So at the time, the ball goes through the net, I burn one. And I'm like, man, I really didn't want to burn it. I really at least wanted to get to half court. I didn't want them to set what – I wanted them to stay in the defense that we're in. So, but I felt like if we were just gone, I don't know if we would have got the outcome.
Right.
We wanted. So I tell them – I got one more. I tell them, I said, we're going to advance it. It was only a 30-second timeout, and I wanted to use my full of the second. So we're going to advance it to half court, and then we're going to run it off the side. That way I can kind of see what they're in. Well, I drew up a set play off the side – for a zone, a set play off the side for a man. And, you know, everybody's good. We're all ready to roll. We get on the sideline, and my best player, again, thinks that they're in man, and I'm telling them which one to run versus zone because they are in zone. And she thinks they're in man, so she runs the man set, and my point guard runs it correctly and realizes, oh, that's not the action. And the clock's ticking down. Well, she heaves one up off the backboard from half court, goes in. We send it to overtime and end up winning. Got lucky and won. And so the whole point of this story was, is I looked at that and I said, I don't want, when I call out set plays that have meaningless, if I say, hey, let's run five or let's run Bama or this, right, that they look at me and go, what is Bama? And how do I correlate that to what we're doing? And so we took our language and we took our language and built it even further, and we went all action driven. And so when you see me yell out a verbiage of what something is, if I yell out bang, well, bang may be a ball screen in our motion offense.
Right.
Or if I, you know, I have a number system with it as well for floors and positions. Right. And we went completely positionless. It was still running our same offense, but we changed our language. And so now, without them knowing, I'm running set plays without them saying, hey,
right, there's not the stress of it, because and people are listening to this years from now, we're in the quarantine stage right now, but kids deal with stress differently. Like, and you don't really know how they're going to deal with it until they're put into it. I mean, we can try to simulate it in practice, but you didn't know how your star was going to react.
It's not her fault. It's
not her fault. But you probably practiced it, and she probably knew it. And then something happened in that yep, stress of the end of the game caused her to react. I see it in my house. My kid's going to a little Ivy. He's super smart. He's going to Middlebury. He is super unmotivated. He has been motivated for 18 years. He is a great student. He's super unmotivated right now because, you know what? He's under stress. He's not seeing his friends. He's graduating from high school. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I could care less about that at this point. But I didn't know how he was going to react to it. Some kids want structure. They want more work.
Yeah.
So it's not against you or her. It's just like, you didn't know that. That's for the young coaches. That's where you got to pivot. Like, yeah, okay.
We still kept our same philosophies and all that, but I wanted to trigger that brain activity that when that action is called, that they know exactly what that action is.
Right.
And there had to be some form of correlation. And when you do that as a young coach and you're building, we built our own offense.
Right.
Completely built it.
So did we. If you saw our offense, you'd say, and we used to run the swing, and we used to run blocker mover, and we used to run those things because we're Wisconsin. Obviously, that's huge there. But we run. We don't run the read and react, but we run the read and react. We don't run the dribble drive, but we run the dribble drive. We have pieces of this that work for our kids. Yep. Yeah, and next year's team will probably run something similar to this year's team, but 2 years from now, I can tell you right now, we're going to be very guard heavy. We're going to tweak it again because this will work here and this won't. So I love that because you're making them players.
We have, yeah. I mean, and so we took our motion principles. We run some Jay Wright Villanova stuff.
Yeah.
And it was a ball screen motion, but we took some of that ball screen action. We add, you know, if we wanted to, we could put in a language for flex, or we could put in a language for flare screens, or, you know, we would control that based upon what initial action that would be.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
What all right, next one. What's the hardest concept to teach?
I think the hardest concept to teach for us, especially when you're starting out, is teaching them the complete game. I think on the female side, because, and I would say females and males, there's not a lot of people that sit down and watch college basketball or pro basketball anymore. And so understanding specific actions are, like, what is a flare screen? What is a slip or a curl? You know, what is a back screen or a UCLA screen? They don't know that. And so concepts like that, you've got to
break. They're watching highlights. That's what they're watching on YouTube. Yes. At least boys are.
Or they're watching one-on-one moves. I mean, boys are watching, hey, how did Kobe cross over and make that guy fall?
Right.
And that's all they care about. But teaching the concepts of how, and like you said, read and react is the hardest thing. Like, how to read the defense, that's huge. I would say, if I would say for girls basketball, the hardest thing to teach is how to read what they're doing, not what we're doing.
Okay, so I love Rick. I've had Rick on my podcast a ton of times. He is truly an innovator, truly an innovator. Mm-hmm. It's like 500 hours to run his read and react. Mm-hmm. I've got it down to 30 minutes. I think I can do it in 30 minutes. I just did kind of a semi course because it's too. I always kid him when I talk to him. I go, is that layer 72 or is that layer 97, Rick?
Yeah.
It's like, my guys can't remember two layers. What are you talking about? Like, so it's like it's the KISS method. Is what I think. What's one thing you've learned in the last week?
Well, I think everything is probably extended over farther than the last week is that with COVID, we've had to build kind of a virtual off season per se. And as you evolve in practice and stuff like that in off season, you can't stay stagnant now that we're not even in the gym. And so
you better keep moving. What are you doing are you running any youth camps this summer?
Well, no. And here's why. We usually run a youth camp right as after graduation.
That's what we do too. Yep.
We run a youth camp and we do second grade or first grade all the way up to seventh. And it's a big fundraiser for us too.
Sounds similar. Yep.
And we bring in, a bunch of businesses. We have about probably 15 sponsors and we can't do that right now. We can't ask those businesses to sponsor, one, because of the economy. That's not fair to our community. Two, it's hard to ask those parents to make those payments as well.
Yep.
And so this summer, no. The answer is no. I think when we get back to school and have some.
So we're not either. The reason I ask is because my phone binged here. I sent out an email last night because I basically canceled ours because we're on – if you've read anything about Wisconsin, we're not on a stay-at-home order, but – where I live in Milwaukee, we are, and we will be till July. The two big cities at least will be. But anyway, I'm not going to put my kids, I'm not going to put my staff, we're not going into a gym. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I sent out an email yesterday. That's why I asked. And I said, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I want to do a virtual one. I'll put some stuff up. I'll check in with your kids. Are you interested? And I'm getting about 50-50 because I think they want something for their kids to do. I really do.
So we built a virtual program, and we kind of go on like an 8-block off season. And so some of those things, like we do, like obviously your skill, ball handling fundamentals, yep. and form shooting and all that. And one of the things we did was competitive drills. That's on the end. We want to be competitive. Well, that's why we're in the gym. And so we had to be really creative. We stole an app, not stole, but we utilize an app called Home Court that our kids yep. do for the competitive because it's time and score.
Yep. Those are Home Court's great. Yeah.
It's
yep.
phenomenal. And yep. and so our kids are really bought into that. That's just like one small piece of it. But the good, you know, I always try to look at the glass half full with some of this stuff. This sucks. We can't be in the gym building our athletes the way we intended to. That personal relationship part, if you're relationship driven, is very hard because you're not face to face. And so you've got to find ways outside of that. But this is, we've extended this all the way down into our youth club. And so like they get a sneak peek of what we're doing in our program. So those ones that are in our youth club teams get to see what we're doing. And so it's not like we're even though we're not getting to do the camp, we're still getting stuff down to our younger kids.
Okay. Yeah. That's the key, is what I think is the key, is to get them something to do, especially in the off season. All right. So I'm going to go through my rapid fire here. I'll add a couple of these, but, so I'll just ask you a question. Usually I call it rapid fire because their answers are pretty quick, tend to be, okay. unless I jump in and then they tend to be longer. What's your favorite brand of basketball? The ball you play with, the round ball. Usually the reason I say that is because I say brand of basketball and people go, I'm fast break, I'm slow down. And it's like, you know, the actual ball. What's your favorite ball, basketball?
Did you guys have to go to the new basketball this year, the orange?
No, we use Spalding TK1000 or whatever it is.
We used to use the Waves. The Wave is my favorite form of basketball.
Okay, that's what –
I think it's Wilson.
That's Wilson. Now, somebody just changed, right? Like the NBA
– did.
The NBA.
We had to go off to, what's it called? It's like what we used to play with and out in the yard. It's like bright orange.
Really?
I can't remember what it is.
So the Arkansas State Association must have gotten a good kickback from these people.
Somebody made some money. Yeah.
Somebody made some money. I'm telling you, whenever they change a ball, somebody's paying somebody.
Some company got, I know that our provider that provides most of our equipment, they made a good chunk of money.
Somebody does, because everyone needs to buy a new one. What's one word to describe your ideal player?
Tough.
Okay. If you go to one sporting event in the world, what would it be and why?
March Madness. Going to the local, I wouldn't even say probably the Final Four.
I took my son to the Final Four and I hadn't been in like 20 years. It was awesome to see Virginia win it and stuff. It was awesome. Yeah,
I would go to that just because
it's a spectacle.
You can watch game after game after game and be right in. I think that would be, you know, they did in Oklahoma City, I think last year, and, you know, it's right down the road from us. And so, but it's, okay. That would be it.
Do you have a superstition?
I'm not really a superstitious guy. I mean, I'm a baseball guy, really, but I'm not.
Baseball guys are the most superstitious of all.
I take that back. This year when we were in our regional tournament, it was funny because I'm usually not. And our bus was full. Our cheer had to go with our girls down to the regional tournament. And me and my assistant and my intern and our athletic trainer rode in the truck. Well, we won. We had to win two games to get into the regional. And so we all rode down in the truck. Well, then we won that day. And so the next day we turned around, we had to play again. And so we're all getting on the bus and there was room that time. And I said, nuh-uh, we're all riding in the vehicle again. I'm not changing anything. So I don't want to lie.
I tell the story of eating, like, on my first run at the state tournament. I think I had the first game of the season, I had like a number 3 at McDonald's. And we were undefeated until the state championship every day. Every day.
I'm a creature of habit too. So maybe more than superstition, but creature of habit.
Well, and I tell people, the boys say coach is super, because I have to be the last one on the bus. There's some things I do. But I said, it's not about if I don't do it, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
It's more about life. It's about the ritual. Like we're getting ready to play. Mm-hmm. Why do I have you wear a tie to the day of the game? Because I want you thinking about it. Yeah. It's more about that ritual.
I have to have cinnamon gum before game. Like it's if it's mint, I'm out. Like,
see, I have to have gums. It keeps me from yelling at the officials more. That's why I put it in. And then it will fall out once in a while. I'll pick it up, put it back in. The student body loves that. They go, coach, I was disgusting. I go,
Cinnamon gum or cough drops is usually what my go-to is.
I don't know. I used to do that with the gum. I don't know with this COVID thing if I'd put it back in my mouth. In the old days, I would. One skill not being taught in today's game.
One skill, probably mid-range. Mid-range jumper.
I told my son, I said, man, there's a golden nugget there in college if you can get a mid-range because it's open.
Mid-range, everybody's high on free throws and layups. Three points and layups, three-point line and layups.
So I think that mid-range is a whole golden gem for some coaches out there. It's open. It's open.
Yep. Well, I mean, like, there's one team in our league that, like, we stat, you know, we do a lot of statistics stuff in scout. But, you know, if I'm doing a shot chart on an opposing team, we'll take about five or six games before we play them. And most of our teams are in the paint or on the three-point arc. And so there's one team that just lives and dies by that 15-footer, and they're good. I mean, they're all good. And it's the style that in which they play, but he's an old school guy. Like he just retired, but he'd been coaching for 30 years. And so it just shows you that the game's evolved, but he hasn't, and they're still very successful around that.
Mid-range. Right. And the thing is, it's open, like those shot he's probably getting, if you can, I mean, Michael Jordan made a career on mid range and bank shot.
Closer you get to the basket, the easier the shots are. I
mean, right. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a lost art.
It is. One thing you do to relax.
I'm a spiritual guy. You know, I enjoy a church guy, spending time doing that. So that's one way. I'm a big fisherman. I love to fish.
I used to fish before I started coaching.
Yeah.
I used to fish.
I have, you know, we break our calendar up into a 6-season calendar. I have, and I say it's 8 because I go off season, preseason, in season, off season, preseason, end season, fishing season.
It's gotta be hot in Arkansas in the summer though.
It is. When you get to August, it gets a little bit. We're right in the middle, so you get all 4 seasons really well.
You do. That's nice. That's nice. One coaching technique. I did that. Best basketball player of all time.
Easy. Michael Jordan.
The best basketball player you've seen in person.
In person, probably Joe Johnson. I watched Joe Johnson play when he was in high school down at Little Rock. Phenomenal.
Okay. Best game you've seen in person?
We had a team in our conference. We were at a conference tournament. Now this is, I mean, I could probably go with college or whatever, but I had a team. They were down 28 in 2.5 quarters, down 28, and came back and won.
You remember those? I'm telling you.
Oh, you don't forget them. I mean, and it was one of those things. It was climatic. It was like a scene from a movie.
I know.
I mean, it was, and that was to punch their ticket to go to the next round. It was phenomenal.
You never forget those. One word to describe your coaching style.
Flexible.
Okay. Best coach of all time.
Krzyzewski at Duke is probably obviously going to, I think that's who I would look at. I mean, but there's so many good ones.
This is one of the harder questions I normally ask.
There's so many. I mean, I can name so many.
You know, Pop. You can go Pop. You can go Woods.
I mean,
you know, like
Pop. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm a big Jay Wright fan.
I know.
I mean,
there's lots of them. Trust me.
Tons.
One book you'd recommend? Would you use the one you were talking about before?
I'd use that one. Burn Your Goals. I think. That's a phenomenal book. If you haven't read that, it'll change the way you look at things.
Okay. And then this is always the last question of the podcast is what would you tell a young coach or your younger self? If you could have a time machine and go back, what would you say? What would you say to yourself 10 years ago? Or what would you say to a young coach that's listening to this?
Enjoy the process. I think that's number one, because it's a process. Very rarely do we land in situations where it's already established and
regardless. And if it is, you're following a legend, which isn't going to be easy either. No.
And so just enjoy the process, enjoy the moments, because those are what's going to make the year fun. Have that fire that you do for everything, have it in practice every day. Build your culture, build your brand.
Yeah,
you know, your kids and not just you, your kids need to know that.
It's the memories. I'm telling you, it's the memories. It's mm-hmm. I mean, I've won. We've been to the state tournament 10 times and won 3 state. I mean, we've been there, but it's the memories. It's the things that, you know, it's the bus rides, you know, it's all those memories. And that's what
I mean. We were down at state finals with the boys, and I was the head girls coach at the time. It was my first year, but it was that first class that I had here. And the boys coach, he said, "Hey, I could really use you I would like to bring you if you wouldn't mind sitting on the bench." And I said, "Sure." You know, I mean, these were my kids. I had them. He only had a 2-man staff at the time. Could use the help. And so we get down there, and I just remember telling him, like, "Dude, just take it all in. Like, this is hard. There's so many things that go into a state title run that have to go right."
My best team didn't win it. It didn't. It had 3 Mr. Basketballs. It had an NBA guy. My best team didn't win it. Yeah. The stars have to align perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Got to stay healthy.
You know, look at Virginia last year. Virginia won a couple games that they shouldn't have won.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a really, really, really good team.
Very good. Yes.
But the stars aligned perfectly for them that year. You know,
other than Texas Tech, probably the best defensive team in it.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like, I always tell people take those visual pictures, and those are the memories, the birth of your child, like, you know, the day you met your wife, all those things, those are memories. That's what you're going to remember. And I think you're right about the process, coach. All right. So we didn't break the record as far as length goes. Cause I think the record's like 3 hours, but we're in that good category. So I really do appreciate you taking time out to do this. This was great. A lot of golden nuggets.
It's been fun. I hope to get to do it again. I'd love to talk. I know we didn't get to X's and O's part.
We'll get to X's and O's. I'll put you on the list.
That's always fun. So
yeah, we'll do that. Awesome. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support us, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Also, subscribe and like. We do appreciate those. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.